Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle The Personal Glories of the Lord. And in this short study of four broadcasts, we will consider the glory of His exaltation, the glory of His vindication, the glory of His coronation, and the glory of His possessions. And we just wish to speak so well of our Lord Jesus Christ that everyone will want to know Him, and even we who know Him will want to know Him better. May God Himself help us to that end. Now, as to the glory of His exaltations, we're going to refer to the Philippian Epistle, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11 inclusive. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. I think I shall read the whole scriptural text, and then we will try to expound it, seeking to learn of the glory of His exaltation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but was made of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which was above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now the Apostle Paul leads us into this wonderful passage of Scripture with a personal admonition to you and to me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now this is the humble mind, and this mind that is in us was first in Christ. And if He humbled Himself, we do well to seek to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now I want to speak of the sevenfold humbling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seven is the perfect number, the number of completion in the Scriptures. And there are seven steps that our Lord Jesus Christ took in His own humiliation. Now we will read those steps. First of all, Christ laid aside His visible glories. That was the first step of His humiliation in becoming a man. We read, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now He was God, but He was in the form of God, the spiritual form. Now He did not lay aside any of His deity when He came into this world. He only laid aside His visible glories. He wanted to become a man so that as a man He could die for your sins and for mine. But He laid aside His glories, and He was not recognized for what He was at all. He was God manifest in human flesh, but He was so thoroughly human, so warm, so real, that people could not get past His humanity. He was so beautiful in His humanity that that's about all their minds could take in. They failed to realize who He was. So many times in the miracles of our Lord Jesus, when He quiets the raging sea, His disciples have to say, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? You see, they were occupied with this wonderful person to the degree they forgot His origin. He came from heaven. He laid aside His visible glory. Now, number two, in His humiliation, Christ made Himself of no reputation. He did not bring the glory of heaven with Him. He laid it aside up there, and He didn't bring it with Him. He came as an humble man. Now, number three, Christ took up upon him the form of a servant. Did you notice that? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Here, the living God that created all things takes upon himself the form of a servant when he took upon himself humanity. Now, actually, the angels are servants, and they are glorious in their glory. It's so many times in the Old Testament, especially, when angels appeared to men, they worshiped them thinking that they were worshiping God. They didn't realize the glory of the holy angels. But our Lord Jesus Christ became a servant, and that was a part of his humiliation. Now, he was made in the likeness of men. He became incarnate, we read, and took upon himself the form of a servant. This is his incarnation, and was made in the likeness of men. He became incarnate. Imagine, if you will, please, the God, the omnipresent God that inhabits eternity, confining himself to a tiny human body. It just baffles the human mind. Solomon said, when he built the temple, Solomon's temple, that grand and glorious building that was so beautiful and so costly, I might add, he said on the occasion of the dedication of that, the heavens cannot contain thee, much less this house that I have built. Christ, the omniscient, omnipresent one, inhabited a human body with no particular glory. Now you can see in the pictures the little halo about the baby's head as he lays in the manger, and the little halo about his mother's head, but that was not the case. We create those halos. The artist creates those halos, and it's a term of respect, of course. But he was so very ordinary. Now, he was made in the likeness of men. He became incarnate. But that is not the nadir. That is not the lowest point in his humiliation. Christ not only became a man, he was an humble man. Now, many men are men of renown, men of glory. We have to respect them. We read about them in history. We read about them. We're taught about them in school. We're encouraged to emulate them. Not all men are humble. They are glorious. And sometimes their power corrupts them. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. He was not only a man, he was an humble man. The fifth reason, he was an humble man. He was a carpenter. He wasn't a lawyer. He wasn't a doctor. He wasn't a politician. He wasn't a president. He wasn't a prime minister. He was a carpenter. And he never even owned his carpenter's in the carpenter shop. It was his father's carpenter shop. He never owned a square foot of the earth upon which he trod. Our Lord Jesus Christ was an humble man. Now, he was not only humble, but he came obedient unto death. He did not resist death. He could have in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could have called 12 legions of angels, rather, 6,000 angels in each legion to deliver him, but he didn't do it. He was obedient unto death. His Father brought him into this world so that he could die for you and for me. God's justice demands death for sins. And you and I deserve that death. But Christ became a man so he could die as God. He couldn't die. He became as a man so that he could die for you and for me. And that's exactly what he did. He not only was an humble man, he was an obedient man, and he died for our sins. And last of all, the seventh reason is that that his humiliation was even the death of the cross. Now, you know, there are lots of deaths that are indeed honorable deaths. Lots of deaths that we commemorate. Those of martyrs. Those of politicians, those of kings, we celebrate their birthdays. And we celebrate the days of their death. We observe them, at least. We don't celebrate them. But these people are honored in their deaths, but not Christ. He died the death of the cross. He died the death of a felon, just nailed to a tree, as if his body deserved no consideration whatsoever, nailed to that cross for you and for me. Certainly, this is the nadir, this is the low point in his existence. And while he was on that cross, God put upon him your sins and mine. As we read in Isaiah 53 and 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Our sins were laid on Christ. He accepted them in the 69th Psalm. He spoke of them as being his. He owned them, and he died for them, so you and I would not have to die for them. This is our Savior. This is the one who humbled himself. Now read in verse 9, wherefore, because of this, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now man brought him to his lowest point, nailed him to a cross. But God in his compensation is going to highly exalt him. Notice please, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He gave him the same name. He didn't sully that name. Jesus of Nazareth, the lowly one, this man, as they referred to him. And it says of him, as he has received that name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, that's angels. Things upon earth, that's mankind. And things under the earth, that's mankind that rejected Christ and is lost and find themselves in eternal perdition. Now, what does it say of these people? That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I have known men in this world, I'm sorry to say, that did not want Christ in their lives, would not confess him as Lord and Savior, would not own any allegiance to him. His name meant nothing to them except to use it to vent their wrath in words of cursing. But God gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Every knee is going to bow to him. I'm glad to bow. But some knees are going to bow that they never thought would bow. They are going to have to confess that Jesus Christ was Lord, but it'll be too late to do anything about it. God is not mocked. God will see to it that Christ is glorified. But it is your privilege and my privilege to glorify him now right here on this earth. Isn't he wonderful? Our Father, today we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the way he humbled himself, even to death, that we might be his for all eternity. We thank you for him. In his name, amen. Thank you.